Hey, 16 here. Just want to tell you that if you love this podcast, please rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, or wherever you consume the show. I'd also like to remind you that if you have any questions, comments, or want to stay updated on my latest episodes, you can visit 16ramos.com and hit the subscribe button. And for those of you who'd rather watch than listen, you can find this episode on my channel, 16 Ramos, on YouTube, or as a live broadcast on the 16 Ramos Facebook fan page. And if you'd rather read, you can check out my blog on 16ramos.com. We also have a bonus download included in this episode, the 7-step guide to pivot your business, so you can learn all the ways you can adjust as a business owner and not just stay alive, but thrive under this pandemic lockdown. To download that, click the link in the captions or descriptions if you're watching the broadcast, or access it through my show notes on 16ramos.com/podcast/13.
You're listening to Generation 6, empowering entrepreneurs to build brands that make an impact in the digital age. Here's your host, entrepreneur and marketing strategist, 16 Ramos.
Today, I'm having a fireside chat with Monty Schumacher about the pandemic, its cultural impact, how it affects everyone's mentality on consumerism, innovation, and how small businesses can stay alive during this quarantine period. So Monty Schumacher is an entrepreneur and a direct sales veteran and has been making waves in the industry for more than 30 years. And he has been a big proponent on fostering efficient communications through digital. So welcome to the show.
Yay, I'm glad to be here. This is exciting.
It's really exciting.
Very exciting time.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you have never missed a beat in terms of getting the news about the current situation that is happening globally. So how are you holding up? What has been your attitude about this whole global lockdown situation, quarantine period that's being enforced all over the world?
Yeah, I think you have to kind of step back and look at the two different types of groups that are out there. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 20 years old, and I can tell you that I've always thrived on disruption and change. So I've always looked for ways that I could do things differently or more efficiently and create more productivity. And that was there was a natural relationship with having a business online. So I've been online for a long time. So for me, nothing really has changed. But for most other people, there's been a lot of dynamic change that's occurred. And I think it comes from the fact, I mean, you can look from a historical perspective. You can sum it up, I think, in one word. I was thinking about this before we started, and it's complacency. Yeah. Is that we get complacent about the future. We get comfortable with what we're doing. You can go all the way back now. Obviously, we're in the throes of a pandemic that's affecting the way we live, the way we do business, the way we socialize. Going back all the way in the United States to the Spanish flu pandemic at the turn of the century, I mean, we've had many generations since then and as each subsequent generation moves forward, they think, well, that's never going to happen. You know, that was then, this is now, we become complacent. Even though there were many experts around the world, some of the brilliant minds in the world warning. I mean, we just not long ago watched the movie Contagion.
Right.
And that, the if you look at the people who consulted on that movie, it was a very real world scenario. And of course, people thought, well, that's just a movie. And now here we are. We're literally overnight, the way in which we socialize, the way we connect, the way we do business has been disrupted for every single company. Not just a few companies, but every single company. And so when I talk about complacency, when we, at the turn of the century, when the Spanish flu pandemic occurred, it changed the way people thought for many generations. Then along comes the Depression here in the United States, and that generation was affected. There was a phrase they used, waste not, want not. And they lived their entire life not wasting and being
very cognizant and aware that they survived the depression, and they never want to be in that position again where they so much pain was inflicted. And you can fast forward to the Asian financial crisis.
Right.
In 2008, 2010, that occurred. We weren't, what several generations before did precipitated that crash, and that changed people's thoughts about the stock market, about spending money, and all of these things happened. And so we can see these things occur throughout history that changed the way we operate and the way we do business going forward. And that's exactly what's happening right now. This is going to be a brand new historical time frame where we're going to look back and we're going to say to people down the road, you know, we're going to say to them, do you remember how things changed? Remember what happened a few years ago when we had the pandemic? Remember how business changed for us? But it is, I feel, a new digital age, and we can talk about that some more.
Yeah, let me tell you, I haven't had this many people that I'm connected to use social media so much. I mean, just to look at how it progressed from, oh, this whole pandemic is there's nothing to worry about, to, oh my God, I've now become an outlet for CNN, and I'm gonna use my social media to to inform the citizens of the world of what I know. And I do not think that it's definitely an unprecedented number of people now knowing the value of their voice and knowing how it's important to maximize this platform that which they are blessed with. So do you think that this is going to have long-term effects when it comes to people's acceptance of social media, especially from people who think it's a fad, it's not going to last, and in terms of its applicability to business operations, marketing?
You touched on something really important, and it's the humanistic changes that are occurring, because we're going from a complacent period of time in social media whereby, you know, I mean, even a few months ago, most people were still doing selfies. They were sharing invites for games. They were thinking about all these inconsequential things.
Right.
Now what we're seeing, literally overnight, we're seeing celebrities online every day sharing things that have entertainment value. We're seeing, I saw the other day, Yo-Yo Ma, who is a master cellist. Mm-hmm. He's playing a new song for his audience live every day online. You know, we're seeing
comedians doing stand-up comedians. Comedy.
We're seeing, you know, we watched Michael Bublé and his wife put out a new schedule. They're going to be live.
A daily schedule.
A daily live schedule where they're going to be doing entertainment and games and cooking. So what we're seeing is this.
Is a more intentional way of using social media.
We're seeing the end result of what many experts have been saying to us for several years now. You need to be authentic. You need to be human. Mm. Now we have to ask ourselves the question in this environment to stand out, what do I have to offer as a human being? Do I have a skill set? Is there a service I can provide? We've now just passed the selfie era and the game era. That's gone. Now we're in a brand new era of social distancing.
It really makes you think, though, what have I got to offer as a member of this community, whether it's online or in person with the people that you actually know, now that what you know counts, what is whatever in your head worth listening to?
The only way that you're going to find that out is to share. And to share it live, you know, and that's the way that we're going. That's going to be an integral part of us socializing going forward. And I think from a business perspective, you know, we've also changed the question as business owners that we're asking ourselves. It used to be, do we need to go online? And then we would rationalize the reasons why or why not we need to be online. Now the question is, do I need to meet with people? Or can I be efficient and productive online, save money, be, as I said, more productive, be more efficient? Mm-hmm. And that's the answer for many business owners is yes. So they're reconfiguring their businesses overnight. We see that in the restaurant business, right. In medicine. We see it in all sorts of online e-commerce. So that's now we've transitioned. And I think that's going to create the biggest change is that question. Going from do I need to be online to do I really need to meet with people anymore? Is there a better way to do this?
And we're talking about this in the standpoint of just the average user or the average person, the consumer. Do you think that for consumers that belong to countries with very, very low digital acceptance, like Hong Kong, which has a 5% digital openness and acceptance rate in their population, do you think that their consumers are now going to be inspired or encouraged or maybe even forced to take this option to conduct business online or order online and do their research and utilize social media and e-commerce websites more?
They have been forced, right? Because if they don't, they do without. So
that's, and now that they have done without so far, do you think, though, that after this whole quarantine period, how much of this will stick is basically what I'm saying.
Well, there's two groups of people. There are those people who have the mindset right now, what do I need to do just to get by till it's over? And then I'm going to go back to a status quo. And then the other group is, how are things going to change permanently and long-lasting way beyond? Because we don't really know what the future holds as far as a pandemic or a virus or any other catastrophe for that matter. So us leveraging what we learn now and making this shift, as painful as it might be for someone who's not participated in e-commerce or online business, now's the time to learn quickly. Bring yourself up to steam very fast because whole industries are going to change. Some businesses are going to survive and some businesses are going to fail.
You're totally right about that. So, you know, speaking of small businesses, I did my research so far because there's a lot of business coaches and mentors online who are being asked, well, how come you're not putting out a lot more content about how we in the service industry, in the product-based industry, can adjust because this logistical lockdown is a nightmare. And there's just not a lot of practical advice out there that makes it feasible for a business to adjust so quickly and pivot so quickly. So how do you think small businesses can embrace this new norm and thrive in a trying time such as this?
Well, they have to scramble, right, to determine who their audience is. I mean, there's clearly a need for now. There's a demand, an overabundance of demand of online services and products right now that can't be supported even by existing business. Look at Amazon. They just put out a notice to hire 100,000 new people. Target's hiring 10,000 new people. All of these businesses that have an e-commerce component are hiring like crazy just to keep up. And that's gonna continue. For those small business owners, you've got to look at ways that you can create efficiency and be more productive. It was interesting, the other day I was looking online, I've been fascinated by how these small businesses have adjusted. There was a restaurant locally here that had never done any they didn't do takeout, they didn't do anything online. They'd been an established high-end 4-star type restaurant, amazing food. And literally overnight, what they did is they reconfigured their restaurant. They pushed up the counter to the front door and they took that entire space where customers usually were and they turned it into almost an assembly line of food, prepackaged food, where you would have curbside delivery.
Oh, yeah.
So they showed a picture of how they'd literally taken over the space and they made that adjustment literally overnight. And I think that we all have that ability. You know, there isn't a learning curve with social media. And there is a learning curve in understanding e-commerce. But you've got a little bit of a window here to make those changes and to seek out those experts, to seek out those people that have been doing it. We have been doing this for over 10 years now as far as online business. And we've evolved and we've changed. So really, that would be my first recommendation. Look at how you could change internally and then seek out someone who can support you that is an expert in that area. Because there are a lot of people out there that are.
And you know, there are also a lot of professionals who are saying, giving out this concept of business as usual. And I just made a post today. As much as we want to say it's business as usual, it's not. And more than that, I don't think it should be. Because if there's anything this pandemic is showing us, it's both our strengths and our gaps. And now more than ever before, you are being given a clear picture of how nimble you are and how resilient you are as a business owner and in your business, how resilient it is. And for you to say it's business as usual or I'm going to get back to normal is actually detrimental to you if you're in trouble right now.
You know, the business as usual, that's kind of interesting. I see that a lot, that hashtag a lot. And, you know, I understand the premise of it is they want to create the aura that they're stable, they're still operating.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of the way in which we do business, there's nothing usual about what's going to happen. And even though you might feel that things are shifting to business as usual, your customers aren't.
Yeah.
They're going to have a different perspective. They're going to be purchasing more online. They're going to be doing more things online, whether you think so or not. So if you don't make the adjustment, you're going to be behind this titanic shift as we move into more of a new digital online age, and you'll be left behind.
And I really think this is an important step to take by business owners is you have to assess if you're still addressing problems, because there will be new problems that will arise during this quarantine period or this lockdown period. And you have to check if your business is still solving problems for the target market that you're offering your service or your product to, because the problem that you're solving might not actually exist anymore. You might not be solving a problem anymore. So if you think that it's business as usual and you want to go back to normal after this quarantine period is over, then that's really a dangerous territory to be in. You're going to be relaxed and you're going to be setting a trap for yourself, because you are not picking up validated learning based on how difficult it is to get your product out there, how difficult it is for people to come to your store. So if you don't pick up any sort of lesson from that, then you have just wasted this. I think there's a silver lining to this. There's a grand opportunity for you to tap into this potential of what your business can be. And I don't think we have been confronted so abruptly by this opportunity in history.
One of the simplest things I think people can do as far as a small business owner is they need to get out there and create some noise.
Mm.
You know, don't think that it needs to be perfect, but get out there and let people know that you're out there, that you're still a viable business. You're still wanting to connect with them. If you're not making noise online and in a social environment, they don't know you exist anymore, because everybody is spending all day long as we sit within a quarantine. Mm. Now, who long knows how long it'll last? Will we come out of it and then in another season be back in it again? We just don't know. So these changes, you're just going to start making some noise, start looking at how people are responding to you and what you're sharing. And if they're not responsive, make a shift.
I love this. I want to talk about this. And on Instagram, I had the chance to gather some questions from my followers. And it was in different versions, but it basically boils down to, what do I do now? I mean, I have a business. I certainly think I know something. I certainly think I have the skills. But how do I build an audience right now when I have to scramble? Basically, how do I do digital when I haven't done that before? And this is what inspired my 7-part guide to pivot your business, you guys. And the link to download that is in the descriptions or in my show notes on 16ramos.com. But basically, I wanted to provide a blueprint so that you have the steps to pivot your business. Basically, if this is the first time you're hearing about pivoting or that concept before, because you never knew how to pivot or whether a pivot is important to your business, or this is the first time you're ever going to have to adjust. Pivoting is basically changing the operations or the brand or the messaging of your business or your brand so that you can accommodate the needs of both your customers and your staff if you have a team. So this is uncharted territory for a lot of people. So I didn't want people to fly blind in this realm. So I created that guide so you can download that. But one part of it that I want to talk about is the areas that you can explore to pivot. Because first, for the first part of this is, to have an accounting of what your strengths are as an entrepreneur, as an influencer, or as a business owner, and what your gaps are. Are you bridging your skills to the people's problems, the current problems of your audience? Are you actually doing something to provide value? And then after you do that accounting, there are a lot of ways, like you said, a lot of areas you can explore, like monetizing your skill set and your knowledge. And I love that story that you told me about the jiu-jitsu instructors that you follow on Facebook, of them wondering how they can keep their customers paying their memberships. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult because no one wants to roll around in a mat and touch people.
No one wants to be in a gym. No right? one wants to be working out in groups, you know, a cycling class. No one right? wants to do that. They're afraid.
That's difficult when you can't get people through the door, because obviously you understand why. But then as a business owner, this is scary. I'm not going to make any money. So one way that some of these instructors decided to pivot is, why don't I provide online classes? And I think
an online membership. Why don't we
subscription?
And really, the general recommendation is to provide an abundance of value.
Mm.
It isn't just that you can simply replace. Let's take a gym owner or fitness instructor. If someone, a member, was coming 2 to 3 times a week, that you can just do 2 or 3 classes online. You've got to overwhelm them with value, because you've got to and show them that there's a way that they can still connect with you. And that's really, there's many people that are doing that. I saw one of the largest yoga instructors. You know, they're doing lessons every day.
Or if you're a chef, you can do online classes
cooking
as well.
Cooking every single day. And that's, the other day I did a simple post. What was one thing that we could say, that one piece of advice we could give somebody right now? It's to go live every day.
Yikes!
Yeah, and you know, that's an obstacle, because we can simply take our phone, we can set it up on a counter,
yep.
and we can go live on any
yep.
topic we want. So the period of time in which we had before the pandemic, before this cultural change, where we could sit back and think, I need to learn more. I'm not really sure what I'm going to talk about. If you're not live right now, you're being drowned out by everybody who is live.
At least know that,
yes.
right?
Yeah, at least understand that on so many different levels. So, you know, we've been preparing for this and we've been working towards that, but anybody can go live, and it's going to, they have to be patient with themselves as they do that.
Yeah, and don't wait to be an expert at something. You already have a skill set that somebody wants to learn. And especially if you have passion at what you do, you know more than someone who has never started. So you can absolutely teach whatever skills you know, whatever knowledge, and you can develop digital courses or digital products.
Absolutely.
Put it in writing, develop an ebook.
Is there anything we can't learn on Google?
Right.
If there's something that's been a passion for you and you want to take it to the next level,
uh-huh.
Google the topics. There are so many people out there that are providing so much free content and value that you can learn anything you want.
Mm.
And have fun with it and enjoy it and move forward.
Right. Another recommendation that I have in this guide is to adopt digital in areas that you can, especially if you are a brick and mortar business, for example, and streamlining your processes or your operations is somewhere you want to be at, then you could consider digitizing the way you customers can order or and have their products delivered. You can digitize appointment booking, for example. A lot more people are looking at delivery apps, which has the best deals and stuff like that. So adopt digital in areas where you can. Training, coaching is also a part of it. Also, digital marketing. I have a friend who is concerned about her real estate business, because if you can't go out and you can't do tours of these houses and you can't meet with people because of social distancing, something that you might want to consider in the future when you are finally allowed to be out is create a 360 tour of the houses.
Virtual tours. Absolutely.
And you know what? Even with no quarantine period, you can basically host a tour right at the comfort of your couch. And this is what I'm saying is, I really think that a lot of people, without realizing it right now, will say, oh my gosh, I should have been doing this a long time ago.
It's that, you know, the whole concept of working from home or remote working. I mean, we tend to use the phrase remote working as it relates to employees and corporations, but then working from home, where people are stay-at-home moms or people that have extra time at home where they can actually have an online business. That's what's going to explode in the next few years. Find yourself a product line or a company that you can align with their values. And, you know, of course, you know, we work with several different companies, and we know that there's, I mean, as far as product categories, you know, personal care, cosmetics, wellness, nutrition, all of these areas are going to explode in interest because people are going to want to have that delivered. And they're going to want it brought to them. And that's really what it's all about. And finding those ways to do that is something that's really important to do.
And you really touched on something very important here, is to maximize whatever digital presence you already have. People who have spent the most time building their online brands are winning right now because they've never lost the connection. They've always been connected digitally to their communities. They've spent years and years creating digital products. And those are the people who are winning. And those are the businesses that are most resilient right now. So if...
The trouble people run into, I think, with that is they compare themselves with other people. Yeah. Don't do that.
No.
Don't do that. Because that's gonna be a hindrance.
Yeah.
And I think that really the reality is, start wherever you are today.
Yes.
And make some noise. Mm. Go live. Start to determine those topics that you have a passion for or in. And start to share on a more humanistic way who you are and what you have to offer everyone else.
I love that. Well, I think we've covered a lot.
I think we did in
this broadcast.
And there's going to be a lot more broadcasts because I just saw your daily broadcast schedule.
Yeah, I was just getting to that. So I have published or posted a photo of my daily schedule. So I'm going to do one different topic every single day of the week. Oh, not every single day of the week. Mondays through Friday. I'm doing everything from productivity to motivation to entertainment. I'm actually going to talk about...
Are you
going to
sing and dance? Me like a movie reviewer?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yes.
I have read some of your movie reviews. They're very good.
Are they hilarious? Do you love them?
They were very insightful. Let's not say what movies they were. Okay.
So do tune in. It's going to be every weekday. I believe I've set that at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on weekdays on the 16 Ramos fan page.
5 days a week.
5 days a week. I am making the effort. Guys, have fun with it. Maximize your online presence. People want to be connected to you now more than ever. People are listening.
They need to be.
They are watching. They are grasping for valuable content to consume. And you might just be that perfect source of valuable information that a certain person is looking for. So go at it. Thank you, Monty, for being in the
show.
Thanks
for joining. It was fun.
To our listeners, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If these tips and trainings help you in any way, please, please, please send your thoughts my way. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at 16 Ramos. And you can visit 16ramos.com and send your thoughts my way. Guys, remember to keep safe, stay indoors, do social distancing, take care of your mental health, call your friends and family if they're far away from you. And hang in there. We will get through this together. We'll see you guys soon. Bye.
You've been listening to the Generation 6 podcast. Catch you again next time for a brand new episode. If you found value in this topic and have a story you'd like to share, reach out and visit 16ramos.com.